Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Washington, D.C.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to amagimetals.com and check them out. That's amagimetals.com. During the month of February, enjoy discounts and silver giveaways to commemorate Amagi's 4-year anniversary. Check out amagimetals.com anniversary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Freedom Report. I am here at Washington, D.C. at the International Students for Liberty Conference, and I'm here with my good buddy, Jack Hunter. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Austin. Long time no see.
Yeah, long time no see. Last time we were together, we were talking about possible Rand Paul versus Hillary Clinton, and that one did really well. People seem to enjoy that election coverage, but today I want to talk about something that happened here at the Students for Liberty Conference. There was a panel that was attended with Oliver Stone was sitting on it, as well as Jeremy Scahill, who wrote the book Dirty Wars. And there was a documentary recently came out on Netflix y'all can check out as well by the same name, Dirty Wars. And they were talking about the issue of just war, talking about warfare, and I believe they talked about national security and the surveillance state. Mm-hmm. And you got to see this panel. I missed it, but you told me that Jeremy Scahill, who was sort of liberal-leaning perhaps in his past, was talking about identifying with the Tea Partiers.
Yeah, his first statements during that panel, here's a guy who comes from the left. He's been most associated with the Nation. Mm-hmm. He's doing the project with Glenn Greenwald right now, who's also on the left. But, you know, obviously these guys are absolutely marvelous on the surveillance state and civil liberties. Yeah, he was just talking about the fact that, you know, MSNBC is basically a propaganda machine for the White House at this point, who is awful on all these issues. These are the same liberals who were upset at Bush Cheney, and some of the most outspoken people who are good on these issues and pro-civil liberties are Tea Partiers like Rand Paul and Mike Lee and these other people who actually, you know, do this stuff and actually talk about
it. So this is blowing my mind, because
right.
This is the kind of thing that a libertarian sits down and goes, oh my God, like, we're winning. Oh my God,
right.
They're waking up. Like, is that what's happening here?
I think it's a combination of that. And look, right and left are still useful in identifying certain trends or categories in American politics, but I can't remember a time in recent history or memory when they've been so more jumbled up and mixed up. What does it mean to be right and left?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kind
of
things...
Like a realignment here.
Right. Well, take a guy like Justin Amash, who will be at this conference as well, who's sort of the voice in the House for the Republican Party against NSA surveillance. When Karl Rove calls him the most liberal Republican, what is Karl Rove saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that his concept of what a conservative is Bush Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, here's a guy who has 100% rating from FreedomWorks and Club for Growth and all these other things talking about Amash, and Karl Rove's calling him a liberal? What's happening here? He's a Tea Party conservative Republican,
mm-hmm.
and he's good on civil liberties, and Karl Rove thinks he's a conservative, and he's horrible on civil liberties. That left-right paradigm is being jumbled up, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing, because obviously the issue of civil liberties is more important than the labeling.
Now, you said Oliver Stone made some comments that sort of made your eyebrows raise. What were those?
I think he was just echoing some of what Jeremy Scahill was saying, that, you know, the left, I mean, they talked about Obama being a completely spineless president, and
mm-hmm.
he won't stand up to the military-industrial complex, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you were a liberal and you expect great things out of this guy who's going to take us away from Bush Cheney, not only did he not do that, he doubled down on a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
completely awful. It was a very entertaining panel.
Wow. And now you said something that about Jeremy Scahill mentioning Rand Paul. Did he mention Rand specifically?
No, he was one of the first things he said.
Really?
That, you know, you have these Tea Party or Libertarian Republicans is how he phrased it out there. And they're at the forefront of these fights against the NSA and their metadata collection, you know, controversial program they have.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. And in other words, look, David Friedlander at the Daily Beast about a month ago wrote a piece like, why are so many progressive and liberals seeing Rand Paul as their hero? I can't remember the exact title. And he went through the NSA surveillance issue. He went through things like mandatory minimums and prison reform and how the drug war targets minorities. And these are all things that Senator Paul has taken up as under the Tea Party banner, and this is what conservatives believe. That's a pretty monumental shift in, you know, the ideological way we think about things in this country. And it's good to see leftists and liberals notice that as well.
Right. When I was at Fox and I would produce segments, some of the most popular segments that I would produce that would just make people's heads explode were segments that would be Ron Paul and Ralph Nader sitting down and talking together, because they would talk about things like a progressive libertarian alliance.
That's right.
And in a sense, we're seeing that kind of happening there, where people like Jeremy Scahill and you know, they see that the promises of the Obama administration were not fulfilled.
Right.
You know, there was a famous quote by Obama that's going, kind of making the rounds right now, where Obama was saying the main problem with George Bush is that he tries to take too much executive power. Now we see Obama taking executive power. I mean, if you think about it, if Mitt Romney had been elected president of the United States, nobody could have seen how bad the liberals would never have seen how bad Obama really was. Now it's almost as if it's better for the libertarian cause that bad things are happening, because people are now turning more libertarian in a sense.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Here's the trick. A lot of this obviously is just partisanship. You know, if you're on the right and you're in the Republican Party or part of the Tea Party, you don't like Obama. You don't want him spying on you. But the question is, will they trust a Republican to do the same in the future as they did with Bush Cheney?
Right.
Now, my answer to that would be, you're never going to convince all of them. Obviously, partisanship is one of the most dominant forces in American politics. Mm-hmm. But what you do is you capitalize on these moments, you make them teachable moments. And as much as you can, you get people to think independently that this is bad no matter what party's doing it, as far as, you know, overstepping constitutional bounds, too much executive power. You take these moments to educate people as much as you can. And I think we're living in a moment like that right now, where, as I keep saying, right and left are so jumbled that people can kind of see things a little bit more clearly.
Right. And, you know, partisanship aside, you know, one of the things that Ronald Reagan was able to do to build a winning coalition was to bring over what they called Reagan Democrats. They brought over some liberal Democrats. So any winning coalition is going to have to necessarily bring over some of those liberal Democrats. The trick is, how do we bring those people over without alienating our base?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you always have to speak to people where they are. Going back to our podcast from earlier in the week, where we were talking about a hypothetical between a Rand Paul and a Hillary Clinton, who knows what's going to happen in 2016, but for fun, let's discuss that. Could you imagine a Hillary Clinton, and this could very likely happening, who's kind of pro-war on drugs, for the mass surveillance state, you know, really bad on foreign policy, running against a Republican who is more, you know, maybe not legalization, but definitely, you know, for mandatory minimum reform and letting states decide, is totally against NSA mass surveillance and 10 times better on foreign policy than the Democrat. That's a big switch from what we've had in the past.
That would make so many people's heads explode that we have to do everything we can to make it happen. Not that I want to take on Hillary Clinton, but I would love to see a hawkish Hillary Clinton versus a more dovish Rand Paul. You know, like, that would probably be the most hilarious matchup you could ever see, just because, you know, everybody would have all of their preconceptions challenged. And even if Rand Paul were to lose, but even if Rand Paul were to lose, I almost feel like it would be better for the country that kind of dialogue happened, because it would just expose so many of the fallacies about what the difference between principles and politics.
Well, that's exactly right. And look, you know, as something we've learned from both of Ron Paul's presidential campaigns, there can be a victory even in electoral defeat.
Right.
I would argue that Ron Paul's campaigns in 2008 and 2012 have more of an impact on our politics than anything Mitt Romney did, and quite frankly, anything Barack Obama did, in the sense that you could have put some other establishment puppet up there and they would have done the same thing he's doing right now. But the ideas, the hope and change, that never materialized.
There was no Mitt Romney revolution, ladies and gentlemen.
No, there wasn't. There would have been no John McCain. It would have been more of the same. But what Ron Paul has done and what libertarians are doing, and this conference is a perfect example of just this growing growing libertarian sentiment in the country, especially with youth, which way they're going, that will have more of an impact on our politics and our future going forward than anything.
Excellent. Well, Jack, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. People who listen to my show, they're big fans of yours. A lot of people wrote in and told us they really enjoyed the podcast, so we're going to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate every single one of them.
All right.
To be with you, Austin.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
Thank you.
Have a good one.